The DACA immigration case is before the Supreme Court today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Supreme Court today will hear oral arguments in a case that some parties argue could have a significant economic impact. It's about whether eligible children of people who came to the U.S. illegally can stay. The Trump administration declared what's called the DACA program illegal. If that position is upheld, about 700,000 people who grew up in the U.S. could be deported. Washington Post reporter Robert Barnes has been following this case. Mr. Barnes, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Many of the briefs filed in this case, you know, support keeping the DACA rules in place, but a lot of those briefs don't really turn on issues of law, do they?
They don't. You know, it's a strange case in that way. The Trump administration is trying to end this program, and yet he has sent very mixed signals. He says that, you know, no one wants to deport all of these hundreds of thousands of young people. By very definition, they only can be eligible for this program if they are been in the country for a while, if they have committed no serious crimes. 90% of them are employed. Nearly 50% of them are students. And yet there is been no action by Congress, by the White House, that they could agree on to come up with a permanent solution for this problem.
So you have briefs in support of keeping the DACA rules in place from places like the tech company Microsoft, saying we employ scores of DACA people.
Yeah, Microsoft says that it has 66 employees who are DACA recipients and that they want to keep them. There is another brief from 140 businesses, both large and small, saying these are our employees. We don't want to lose them. And also that they are not taking jobs that Americans might fill, but that they are jobs that would go unfilled if they weren't there to do them.
And implied, or maybe specific in some cases, is there will be economic harm to the United States if the DACA rules are replaced in these circumstances. Does the Supreme Court respond to economic arguments? I mean, it's not the Federal Reserve, after all.
The argument here is that the Trump administration didn't come up with the proper legal reasoning for getting rid of this program. It didn't say why now was the time to end it, what harm to the country would come from this. And so what lower courts have found is it's not enough to say that this program is unlawful. You have to have some sort of reasons that courts and the public can examine, or else getting rid of it is arbitrary and capricious.
All right, we'll see what happens as this case evolves. Washington Post reporter Robert Barnes, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Much of the anxiety about the declining health of the global economy this summer was focused on Germany, where the economy had been contracting. Today, a key index of the sentiment of investors in Germany stopped its precipitous decline. It's the ZEW survey, spelled Z-E-W. I just spoke to Jeffrey Cleveland, the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
We got sentiment out of Germany improved pretty much to a six-month high. So if you ask German investors how they expect the economy and various other indicators to shape up over the next 6 months or so, the optimistic members of the survey have grown in number, if you will.
And it was looking pretty bad there, say, I think it was August.
August was a particularly bad reading, and you know that that is coincident with some stock market sell-offs globally and also a huge swoon in global government bond yields.
In a few hours, President Trump will be speaking at the Economic Club of New York. We know he wants to talk about tariffs and trade. I assume you'll be monitoring.
Well, David, we will have to watch. It could be market moving. We just don't know what he's going to say.
It's a theme there. Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Thank you so much.
Have a great week.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Regulators in New York are investigating the new Apple Goldman Sachs credit card to see if it favors men over women. This after some husbands noted the card gave their wives much smaller credit lines, even if their scores were as good or better. Critics say this is just the latest example of bias in the algorithms that power so many financial decisions. Marketplace's Amy Scott looks at the case of mortgage lending.
Even when you sit down with a banker in person, algorithms still likely affect whether you get a mortgage and how much interest you'll pay. Adair Morris is a professor at UC Berkeley and studies the bias in those algorithms. She says they may weigh thousands of variables, including where you went to school.
So the name of your high school is correlated with wealth, but it may over-penalize particular ethnic groups or particular racial groups.
Morse found that discrimination, directly from people, but also from those computer models, costs African Americans and Latinos an extra $765 million a year in interest. Nikitra Bailey is executive vice president with the Center for Responsible Lending.
What these studies tell us is that algorithms are not immune from discriminatory actions or from creating clearly discriminatory outcomes.
The good news? Morse and her colleagues found that lenders using just algorithms discriminate 40% less than loan officers who make decisions face-to-face. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
An attentional model airplane and wind turbine enthusiast, the Financial Times today is reporting on a shortage of lightweight balsa wood, with prices doubling in the last year. They use a lot of lightweight balsa inside the huge blades of wind generators, and there are a lot of wind turbines coming online. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.